This is from Lockdown TV. You're going to hear a Professor Carl Friston, who is a world-class mathematician. Professor Friston is going to talk about susceptibility. And he's also going to wonder out loud, why in Hades didn't anyone else talk about susceptibility? We did. Now, what does that mean? Susceptibility means that basically the calculation that was used to predict Armageddon and the end of the world as we know it from COVID-19 and from the corona hoax, the calculation that was used was based upon that every human being was susceptible. Does everyone understand that? Every person alive was susceptible. That means that anyone at any given point in time could get the corona bug and die from it. So we were all at the exact same risk. That's the only way they could sell this. Well, was that true? No, it wasn't. So, two clips. Professor Carl Friston is going to explain that now that we have data, up to 80% of you and I were never susceptible. We had built-in antibody herd immunity of some sort. This is before the pandemic. So, digital media file number one, Professor Carl Friston. I heard this last night. I'm like, where has this been all my life?
I understand we being careful not to sort of play down the significance of those factors, but the very presence of so many other factors should at least put them into some proportion. And I wonder whether we can go so far as to say that the kind of more simplistic, inevitable progress of the disease that the original imperial models forecast, where essentially everyone was equally vulnerable, the disease would inevitably progress to 80-odd%, and of those, a fixed number would die, as many as 1%, has been proven not to be true. Can we say that from the modelling?
I'm thinking carefully about my answer, because the way that you describe those predictions actually does make perfect sense and has been borne out by the data under the qualification, and here's going back to the rub now, under the qualification that the population they were talking about is much smaller than you might imagine. So in fact, what you just said is exactly what our dynamic causal modeling came up with. If you wanted to fit the data, then yes, you start off typically defining there is a susceptible population, and operationally that population will ultimately be exposed to the virus and will ultimately acquire some form of immunity. And under that definition, then I think the original modeling was absolutely, well, is undeniably true in relation to the assumptions of the modeling, and is perfectly fit as an explanation for what has happened. But notice what we've done. We're talking about a subset of the population that is susceptible. So that immediately implies, well, there must be a non-susceptible population, and we come back to the dark matter. So
the digital media. Okay. If there's a portion of the population that is susceptible, then there is a portion of the population that is unsusceptible or not susceptible. That's what he just said. How do they get that data? They analyzed the actual data and took the demographic, the census numbers, and then applied it and said, wait a minute. And then and another part in this video, it's 30 minutes long, I can't play the whole thing. Another part in the video, the Freddie, the guy from Unheard, a UNHERD, says, well, how is this possible? And Professor Friston says, Carl Friston says, well, it's possible because depending on where you live. Now, this just, folks, I'm ebullient over this. There's so much good coming out of this. Now, Friston, Professor Friston is a mathematician. I just want to be clear on that. He's not an epidemiologist. He even says in the video, you'd have to ask an epidemiologist that question. I'm a mathematician. I'm a statistician, you say. But he says, you know how we have these conversations about getting back to the basics and about the food that we eat, that it's poison with all the GMO crap that they throw in it and what have you, and that you want food that is especially vegetables and what have you. They're grown locally. Why? Because the bees that are pollinating it in this great circle of life kind of thing are delivering antibodies to us. They're helping us in this environment, in this locale, in this area. They're helping us and other living mammal, another living life, another life. They're helping us to avoid the creatures and critters that bear or that come in the form of disease and of parasites and what have you. So to help you build up an immunity to this just by naturally consuming things. And he says in another part of the video, well, you know, some people, they, where they live, it's a, we believe that one of the factors that contributes to this is the kind of spice that they use in their food. That herbs and spices also contribute to immunity. So one more clip from Friston. This is all about herd immunity. Now, again, you were lied to. You were deceived. The Crusade Channel and the Mike Church Show told you you were being lied to, told you you were being deceived, presented the info and the data to you. Now, many of you accepted it. Many more of you went, yeah, well, my friends and neighbors will never accept it. And our governor said, blah, 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 blah. We were right. Now, I'm not telling you this so I can toot my horn. I'm toot, toot. I'm telling you this so that when the next phase of this comes along and we sniff out through due diligence and good old-fashioned reporting and journalistic integrity and just going through the paces to try to get to the truth of the matter, you can trust us. And you can refer your friends and neighbors and family members to us, to the Crusade Channel and what we say here on these shows. All right. Clip number two, Lockdown TV, Professor Carl Friston, herd immunity and social distancing. Social distancing doesn't work. Herd immunity does. Listen.
Can't help but notice, if the susceptible population in London is 2.49 million out of 9.5 million, that looks closer to 25% than 50%.
Well spotted. Yeah. It does seem as if the susceptible population is much smaller than you'd imagine. I'm not really here to make predictions or to sort of give you quantitative estimates. You know, the reason I am here is because I asked this question of the epidemiologist, are you using variational techniques that allow you to test different hypotheses? Mm-hmm. I suspect if you want a number, I think you're absolutely right. What it will look like once this has been done, it will look like, in fact, the effective non-susceptible proportion of the population would have been about 80%. I think that's what's going to happen. But I have no foundational training in epidemiology, so all I can do is
observe the data.
Yeah, or even less than that, put methodologies, inference methodologies, Bayesian model comparison on the table for people whose job it is to actually explore these hypotheses.
In the first committee meeting of your independent SAGE that you're a member of, I tuned into, and there was a phrase you used, this was back at the beginning of May, that stuck with me, where you said that you felt it was more that the COVID explosion in places like London and elsewhere was more akin to a firework than a kind of rumbling fire. and that it quite quickly worked through all of the available combustible material. Could you elaborate on that? And do you still believe that, having now seen the relatively slow decline in the daily death rate?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, it inherits, I think, from the basic epidemiology that is baked into these SIR, SER-like models, that if you've got a susceptible population, it's going to burn through operationally. You look at the differential equations, it can be no other way. That start with one person has an infection, you end up with everybody's had it. There is, the model just does not accommodate any other outcome. So there has to be this explosion, this sort of burning through the susceptible population. That is the nature of the model. So now the conception is, well, how do you explain an epidemic or a pandemic in a country where there could be the whole series, a whole constellation of these susceptible populations? So within any susceptible population, any little nidus of infection, any little cluster, any little outbreak, yeah, I think the fizzle, the firework model is almost a truism.
Almost. Okay, all right, almost a truism. Now, in case you didn't get that, 75-25, maybe 80-20, unsusceptible to susceptible population. What does that mean? You get exposed to it, 80% of people are going to laugh at it and walk away. COVID, whatever. We have all this, like, cure and stuff. We have all of this, like, you know, immunity. 80%, up to 80% of populations exposed couldn't have gotten it. That is shocking. You shut the economy down. You made me stay in my house. You took my business away from me, and only 20% of the population was even susceptible to it? Wow.